After nearly 30 years with the town of Normal and a long list of accomplishments, including Uptown redevelopment, Mark Peterson announced his retirement yesterday, effective at the end of March 2018. He was hired in 1988 as assistant city manager and appointed as city manager in 1998. Mark, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas, and congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate you stopping by. Why now, Mark? Why is this the right time?
That's a good question. Somebody asked me the other day, and I said, well, I think it's because I'm old. And when people get old, they retire. But again, I'm not that old. I'm 58 years old, for the record. I'll be 59 when I retire next March. But I've been thinking about it for a while, and I will say this. I love my job. I'm fortunate to be in a position where I look forward to coming to work every day. And it's because this is a great community, and it's fun. We're doing a lot of things that are fun, and I've got a tremendously talented staff, and I want to, you know, much of my success goes to the staff. Frankly, city manager's one person, and it's relatively limited on what we can do as city managers. But our job, primary job, I think, the most important aspect of our job is getting the right people in the right places, giving them the tools and the resources that they need to be successful, and then letting them be successful, get out of their way. And as I look back, if there's anything that I'm really particularly proud of is the staff.
I'm sorry, but you take a moment.
Sure.
And let me jump to the next question.
Sure.
Here. There wasn't a recently accomplished objective that caused you to say, well, now that that's done, I can go.
No, not at all. In fact, I've still got 8 more months here, and there's a lot yet to do.
Sure.
I've got a lot of things I want to see done and some projects that I want to get started. But I think it's just a good time for the organization, and I say that, I really mean that. You know, 20 years is a long time to be city manager. I've been here 30. You pointed out earlier, 2 city managers in the history of the community spans almost 50 years. I really do believe that it's time for new leadership. And I've had some success, and I appreciate the comments that were made by Mr. Fritzen and others, and it's really gratifying. But I do think it's an exciting opportunity for the town to bring in a fresh perspective, some new energy, new ideas, new vision that I believe will take the town to a new level of success.
You've touched on this a couple of times.
Yeah.
About coming here, liking the community, the fact that you've served a long time. Your career as city manager has been fairly atypical when you look at other city managers. It's not unusual for city managers to serve a number of cities as city manager.
Right.
You landed here and stayed.
Yeah.
Why was this community a good fit for you?
That's a great question, Mike. Number one, it's a wonderful place to live. Who wouldn't want to live here? Great quality of life, safe, wonderful schools, great economy. In my case as city manager, I have been blessed with outstanding elected leadership. The support that I've gotten over the years from the council members has been tremendous. They create an environment where it's fun to be here. They give staff the opportunity to be creative and progressive and sometimes push the envelope and do things that are outside of the box. Look at Uptown Normal. What a leap of faith the council took. We all took back in 98, 99, when that project got launched. And there were some very, very difficult decisions along the way, but the council was right there with the staff in lockstep. They supported us, and that makes, in a position like mine, that's rare. And so
Never looked at other positions. Certainly, you were recruited.
Sent out a resume. I had calls.
Yeah.
Never sent out a resume. Never even considered relocating. You never know. Things change. Sometimes there's a change in political dynamics in a community, and oftentimes that occurs. A new council wants to have their own person in the city manager's chair. I understand that, and I defend their right to do that. But that didn't happen here, and when there was political changes, I was able to adapt.
It almost happened, though, with the last election. So had that election gone differently, with the difference in philosophy in terms of how maybe a town ought to be managed fiscally,
right,
or what effort they should put into redevelopment, would you have put off your retirement?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to say. And again, you know, political dynamics do change. Every election, there's a little different dynamic. Every you bring new people on the council, they have different priorities. And part of my job, the city manager's job, is to adapt to those changing priorities. Unless they become so severe, the change is so dramatic that you just can't make that leap. But I didn't feel I was in that situation here, so, and I have never been.
So no big goals got done that sort of said, okay, I can go. No, what about external factors? There have been some disagreements with the city of Bloomington. The climate to run a city is not any easier than when you started. There are some funding challenges ahead for all municipalities, including the town. External factors play a role, or is this really about you and timing?
It's timing. Yeah, not at all. I mean, yeah. There's always going to be challenges. There always has been. There always will be. They change, although... they do change, but they also remain the same, and that had nothing to do with it. It was just, frankly, a matter of timing. I think it was the right time for the organization and probably the right time for me personally. As much as I enjoy my job and as much as I like it, I do look forward to some new things and some new opportunities. So I just felt it was the right time to move on, and the town will be just fine.
Right. Jeff mentioned it. You mentioned it. You're the town's only second set city manager after the town moved in that direction, that form of government. How much of Dave Anderson do we see in Mark Peterson's town management style?
Some. And first of all, Dave's a good friend of mine, and I stay in touch with him a lot. He's now moved out of state, but we talk on the phone regularly, and he's been one of my mentors, clearly. I had the opportunity to work with some really outstanding city managers over the course of my career, and I think I've taken a little bit from each one of them. They were all different, had different styles. So certainly there's part of me reflects some of Dave Anderson's style, but I'm also different than Dave. And I think that, you know, even though I was an internal candidate back in 1998 when I was hired by the council, I think they saw the advantage of having consistency and kind of a smooth transition. But at the same time, they knew I was not Dave Anderson, just like whoever replaces me will not be Mark Peterson and shouldn't be. One of the advantages of having this kind of change is you get somebody different and new and has a different style. And I think that new style will serve to re-energize or further energize the organization and the community.
And you've worked with Mayor Coos the longest of any of the mayors.
Yeah.
Can a town accomplish what's been accomplished in the town of Normal with a mayor and city manager at odds with each other? Obviously, the two of you are a good team.
Yeah, no. I don't think you can. I think one of the crucial components or the crucial reasons behind the success Normal has enjoyed is the relationship not only between the mayor and the manager, which has always been good. We're always on, you know, we work hard to stay on the same side of the issue. We have disagreements, he and I. And it's great. I feel very fortunate that I can disagree with the mayor, sometimes, you know, pretty voraciously. And he accepts that, and vice versa. But at the end of the day, we're on the same page, and I feel that way with the council. I feel a sort of this great sort of a symbiotic relationship, and I've gotten to know the council. It's my job to know them, and I always feel like we're always on the same page. If that doesn't exist, it's very difficult to be successful, in my opinion.
And you mentioned some projects you would like to at least get started before you leave. Library, one of those?
I don't know if I'll make it that far. I guess it's started through design. I don't think we'll be, you know, we're probably a few years off from construction. I'd sure like to see some progress made on the underpass, working with federal officials. Certainly we'll see a new fire station opening, which I'm looking forward to sliding down the fire pole. I told the chief that's one thing I want to do. I want to slide down the fire pole just once, so we'll see if they let me.
Make sure the corporation council, make sure the insurance.
The risk manager will be right there, yes. I'm anxious to see One Uptown Circle Phase 2 completed, and we are working on another project in Uptown that very exciting project. I'm not at liberty to go into the details, but I'm hopeful that can be at least move down the track a little bit further before I retire.
Another redevelopment project?
Another redevelopment project that's in the very early stages, and we're hoping to move that quickly. So, you know, there are several other things out there that I'm excited about. Oh, I should mention seeing the comprehensive plan approved, which will be sometime late this year.
That'll keep your thumbprint on the town for a while into the future, probably.
Well, a little bit. I mean, I've had some influence, but a lot of people have been involved in that. But I think it's going to be an outstanding document. I'm excited about it.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy in the studio with Mark Peterson, who has announced he'll retire in March of 2018. Uptown Normal is barely recognizable from Downtown Normal of 1988. Do you recall seeing Normal for the first time coming from Liberty, Missouri?
I do. I remember it very well.
And your impressions then?
You know, quaint, quaint, a little shabby in some cases, but with great potential. And it was very interesting. You know, I've forgotten some of the things. Every once in a while, I back and look at photographs, and I remember like Rocky's and Schnebley's Garage and Model Paris and things that a lot of people never
seen.
Abe's Caramel Corn. Loved Abe's Caramel Corn. Commerce Bank, Citizens Bank. A lot of those things that are gone, and many people don't remember, never knew they were there. So there has been a dramatic transformation and up from downtown to uptown, no doubt about it. I probably one of my most memorable experience is one of my favorite projects, which what I call step one in Uptown redevelopment, was the Normal Theater, which when I was the assistant city manager, that job, that task was put in my lap, and I spent, a couple of years shepherding that through the process, and that was a very gratifying project. And I think, again, I saw that as kind of the first step in the overall renewal effort for Uptown.
The second step maybe was the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center.
That was huge. The Marriott was huge.
And it almost didn't happen, right?
Almost.
And there was a poorly worded referendum that led to majority of citizens saying, no, we don't want this project.
Right.
How did that end up coming to be?
Well,
short question, long
that
answer.
That was, yeah. I'll try to make this as short as I can. It was a very complicated project and a very complicated financing structure. And I will go to my grave with the belief that that was the right thing to do at the time, but we just could not effectively communicate that to the public. It came on them quickly. We didn't do a good job of bringing the community along with that project. We announced it one day, and people were like, what are they talking about? We had no track record, so that people were skeptical that we could pull it off. And for a variety of reasons, it failed, I think it was like 70-30, on an advisory referendum. And the council, I think, wisely stepped back from that project, but they never gave up on the hotel and they kept working. And then John Q. Hammonds came to town and everything changed at that point. And he was an amazing guy, probably one of the most successful hoteliers in the country, if not the world.
Self-made.
And he landed here, and it was that's another story of how he got here. But the fact of the matter is he spent probably 45 minutes in our then downtown. I drove him around, and he got out, looked at a couple sites. He said, this is where we're building, and he did it. He literally, it was that quick. He had this, he has a sixth sense when it comes to hotels, and that's where he built. He was initially going to be at Embassy Suites, but unfortunately the footprint, the land footprint was not big enough to accommodate an Embassy Suites because they're designed with that center courtyard. They take a bigger footprint. So he said, I'll do a Marriott, which, you know, who could complain about a Marriott? And that was the beginning of a long relationship. Of course, John Q. Hammonds has now passed away, but I have great memories of dealing with him on this project.
Not to discount the Normal Theater, but right, if the Marriott hadn't fallen into place, what would Uptown look like today, do you think?
Wow, hard to say, but the Marriott was clearly a catalyst for a lot of other development. And I think it would have changed, but probably not as dramatically so. And then, of course, Uptown Station and the passenger rail service, high-speed rail, also was a significant catalyst. But those two things in particular are probably the keystone projects that paved the way to a lot of other private investment in Uptown.
What do you want to say about Uptown Circle?
It's the greatest place on earth. I mean, it was. I think it was picked in some online poll as one of the greatest public space in the country. Now, it's hard to argue with Millennium Park and some of these other fabulous places and cities throughout the country. But it is a wonderful public space. And I think the water element really is what makes it so special and wonderful. So, and I have the opportunity to sit and watch what's going on in Uptown Circle right out of my office window every day.
And there's always something going on.
There's always something going on. Yeah, whether it's music, and some of it's organized music, some of it's just people taking a guitar down or a drum set, and there's kids. As I said, I think there's more ice cream consumed on that little circle per square foot than any other place in the country.
I did that weekend before last.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Uptown redevelopment where you'd like it and where you thought it might be at this point?
Oh, it's exceeded my expectations, but we're not done. I mean, in fact, the pump is primed now more than ever, and I think I look forward to coming down there 10 years from now. I think it'll even be a more dramatic change. I think there's tremendous potential, but we've come further than back in 1998 than I probably would have guessed. But it's been difficult. It's been challenging, a lot of hard work. We've fought a lot of battles over the years that many of them I've forgotten. And I've told the mayor and the council, we really do need to have a document this process. Because it's an amazing process for a community of our size to take on something like this and to see this kind of a dramatic transformation in a relatively short period of time. So I'd love to see a documentary filmmaker take this on as a project.
City Manager Mark Peterson is in the studio. He's announced he'll retire from the town of Normal in March 2018. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is Sound Ideas. I have a long list of questions here, Mark, and it's obvious we're not going to get to all of them. So we're going to invite you back maybe in March 2018 to talk more about some of this stuff, but I want to touch on a couple more things.
Sure.
The Constitution Trail was approved shortly before you came to Normal. The grand opening was in May of 89. It was 4.3 miles long.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the expansion and what the impact on this community, maybe things we don't know about in terms of economic development with the trail?
I think it's now 45 plus miles between the two communities. Probably the single most popular public project that's been undertaken in my tenure with the town. And it was one of my first council, I think this may have been my very first council meeting or maybe the second council meeting when there was a key vote on this issue. And there was a last minute attempt to reduce the cost and make it a wood chip trail. Mm. They just put wood chips instead of an asphalt surface. And I believe it was a split vote, maybe 5-2 or 4-3. It was a close vote to go forward with the project. And there were some people that did not like it. I remember we have potholes to fill. We don't need to spend money on this frivolous trail. We had homeowners along the trail that were very concerned about safety issues that the trail might create for them personally. But the day the trail was done, literally, I mean, days after it was completed, the complaints were this: it's not wide enough, it's not long enough. and it has since then become so popular for every age group, runners, walkers, bicyclists, you name it. It is a huge asset for the community, and yes, it is an economic development asset.
So what lessons can a community learn from undertaking that kind of investment and taking that kind of risk on an amenity?
Well, Mike, you know this as well as anybody. We don't have mountains here, and we don't have
no coastline,
no riverfront. We have to create some of those amenities. Now, I love the prairie, and we have beautiful prairie here, and we have a lot of things to offer. But we have to probably be a little more aggressive than other places that have natural resources that we don't have. The trail is a perfect example of an investment. It's not an expense. It's an investment in quality of life, and ultimately an investment in economic development and economic success. And I do believe that's the trail. In fact, we probably don't market it as effectively as we should. To outside people who are looking to our community, to people who just want to come here and visit for a weekend and bring their bicycles and ride the trail. It is a tremendous asset for not only for our residents, but a magnet for bringing people into the community.
I'm under one of the landmarks on Constitution Trail regularly as a user of the trail, the Camelback Bridge.
Yes.
And many people maybe have forgotten that replacing that historic bridge was controversial.
Oh, my.
There was discussion of a regular straight bridge with the Camelback moved to the side as a pedestrian bridge, all kinds of options. The town did the right thing?
Oh, absolutely. But I remember it. It was a very controversial issue, and there was very, very few people who had no opinion. You were either for saving the bridge and restoring the bridge or against it. Let's tear this old, problematic, unsafe bridge down and put in a modern structure. I think what the town did ultimately is we replaced the bridge in in a similar, using a similar design to the original, but with some modifications to take into account modern day standards. We widened it. We lowered the hump a little bit to make it a little safer. We did some other things to improve the safety and functionality of the bridge, but we retained the basic character of this lovely wooden bridge.
It was a compromise? Is that what you're saying?
It was a compromise. Believe it or not, it was a compromise.
Does that still happen?
And there were still people that were upset. But again, once it was done, I think even people who were not happy with the plan said, yeah, that's not too bad. And now, of course, people wouldn't dream of removing that bridge. It's iconic in our community. We've just recently, our Parks Department has done some lovely landscaping work underneath the bridge, and it's created a real nice amenity for the trail. It's one of those little community assets that, thank goodness, that our elected leaders at the time had the foresight to say, we can't let this go, because this is a treasure. And I look back at other things. The Normal Theater is an example. That was controversial. There were people that thought that's a waste of money. But the leaders at the time, Paul Harmon, kind of led the charge. And thank goodness they did that. I look at the Broadview Mansion that the town entered into an agreement. That could be gone. What a treasure. And we've lost so much over the years, but I'm so gratified that our elected leaders have that long-term vision. They understand, yeah, it's going to cost us a little money, but this is something we need to save. And Sprague Service Station, 305 Pine, that'll be dedicated this Saturday, I think is another example. Yes, it did cost some money, but this is an investment in the quality of life for our community and also an investment in the economic success of our community.
So, like I said, long list of things here. We'll get to curbside recycling next time we talk to you. We'll get to the amendment to the Human Relations Code to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation.
Right.
We'll get to that at the next time we
smoking
talk.
Smoking ordinance was another one.
Smoking
that was...
ordinance. We'll get to that. What I do want to end with is your thoughts about the next city manager. You've been at this a while. You've worked with other city managers. You know other city managers. What are some qualities you think necessary for the next city manager to possess in order to excel in the job and to move the town forward?
Well, I say, first of all, it is a great job, and it's well known as a great job in my profession. When I took the job 20 years ago, I had a good friend call me up and say, well, congratulations. He said, the downside is you've got no place to go but down. You've reached the pinnacle. Normal is considered a great community, and it's considered a very progressive and enviable local government because of our council and our mayor and the political leadership, but also an outstanding staff. So whoever is fortunate enough to get the job is going to be very lucky. They're going to step into a great situation.
What do they need to get that job, though? And what qualities do they need to bring to it?
I think Mr. Fritzen made some. Number one, you've got to be a collaborator. You've got to, again, I used to be a bit of a micromanager, and my staff will share that with you. And I sort of figured that out 15 years ago, that's not going to work here. Number one, I'd be dead by now because I couldn't. I was working, I was routinely at work till 2 a.m. every night, and that didn't work. So I realized I've got good people, let them do their job, and I think that's important. So a collaborator, somebody that demonstrates great leadership skills, obviously a good communicator, somebody that has good political sensitivities, knows when to push, knows when to pull back.
Is that the same as political savviness?
Political savviness, absolutely. Even though they say city managers are apolitical, let's face it, we work in a political environment. You have to have those kinds of sensitivities.
Intuition, political intuition, be able to read the lay of the land.
Absolutely.
And where the council's heads
absolutely.
At. Where the community's heads at.
You bet. And be able to establish relationships.
How do you judge those qualities in a candidate? I mean, those are things you sort of learn along a long period of time.
It's not easy, but you can certainly look at where they've been and how they've performed in their job. You talk to people who have worked with them. You do thorough reference checking. It is an extraordinarily important decision that the council makes, and I think they're taking it very, very seriously, and I think they're going to take their time, and I'm convinced they'll make the right choice.
Okay, Mark, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas, and congratulations.
Thank you, Mike.
Mark Peterson will hit the 30-year point in March of 2018 when he retires as the Town of Normal City Manager. This is Sound Ideas.